This morning I wanted to do a quick video on just something I read this morning in this book right here, Counsel to Gospel Ministers by John Brown of Haddington. This is an individual I just recently discovered thanks to Reformation Heritage Book Publishers. They've also, and I'm thankful for this, they also published this by the guy, his Systematic Theology. Reformation Heritage has published this. It's a really nice hardback bound. I wish there was a Kindle version of it because I like to read things on my computer on the Kindle, but I like books too. But this is very nice. I really like this. And the stuff I've read in it, just a little bit of it, the sections of it I've read have been just incredibly helpful. And John Brown of Haddington is just a remarkable person to read about. He lived long ago, 1722 to 1787. He was a minister in the Associate Synod. During the formative years of the 18th century Scotland. So he was a preacher and prolific writer. But anyway, this little book, Counsel to Gospel Ministers, I read a little bit of that this morning. I'm just reading one letter at a time, kind of as a morning devotional in addition to some Bible reading. And listen to this. This is very short, but just listen to this. Dear sir, as the manner of preaching described in my former letter is totally empty of the gospel or glad tidings of salvation, so the preacher but perverts and blasphemes the gospel, the doctrine according to godliness, who warmly descants on the imputed righteousness of Christ and his Father's free gift of him for men as their surety and ransom and to them as their husband and portion, but who neglects to exhibit him as a savior from the power and pollution of sin, manifested to destroy the works of the devil in my heart and life, and to fill their place with implanted habits and exercises of holiness, as the Redeemer from all iniquity, who comes to turn away ungodliness from Jacob, and who has purchased for himself a peculiar people zealous for good works, or who conceals from me how his redeeming love constrains to hate every false way, how his justifying sentence makes sure and promotes my spiritual life of conformity to God, how his dwelling in my heart by faith infallibly determines to and powerfully produce holiness and all manner of conversation, then it is not the gospel of Christ. I know that's kind of worded funny, but it is not the gospel of Christ or glad tidings of salvation to sinful men as such. Though the preacher should all his life discourse on the person, nature, and offices of Christ, or of his birth, life, obedience, suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, sitting at God's right hand, intercession, and coming to judgment, or of his merits and purchase, he's saying, you have not preached the gospel. Even if you talk about all this stuff, if you talk about the person, nature, and offices of Christ, if you talk about his birth, life, obedience, suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, sitting at God's right hand, intercession, and coming to judgment, or of his merits and purchase, you still haven't preached the gospel unless you include these things. And listen to these things, he says. You've got to get these things in your message or you're not preaching the gospel, is what John Brown is saying. And he's exactly right. Listen to these. Unless that the preacher truly state the nature of his surety undertaking for us, the substitution of himself in our room instead as the second Adam. Without the substitutionary element, you haven't preached the gospel. Unless you actually have Christ doing all those things vicariously in behalf of his people, you haven't preached the gospel. Second thing, unless he truly state his relation, Christ's relation to the new covenant of grace as mediator, surety, and administrator of it, his relation to sinful men as their appointed Savior, offered and given to them in the gracious declarations, promises, and invitations of God, his relation to his people as their spiritual head and husband, as their only righteousness before God, their judge, as the source of their sanctification by his blood sprinkled on their conscience, to free them from the law or broken covenant of works as the strength of sin, and purge their conscience from it from dead works to serve the living God, and by himself and his spirit dwelling in them as a vital principle of holiness, enabling them to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Whew. So Christ is the Lord. He is the Lord of the person. You need to preach the lordship of Christ in the gospel and the need to turn from sin to Christ. Thirdly, you haven't preached the gospel unless you truly represent the perfect freedom of God's sovereign grace in the offers of the gospel and show that therein Christ as Savior, husband, and portion and eternal life of holiness and happiness as completely purchased by and lodged in him are freely, without any regard to their good resolutions, sincerity, repentance, or good works as the cause, presented, offered, and urged on men as sinners, even the chief. He's right. Unless you present God as absolutely free. You see, people think that this whole idea of God's sovereignty and unconditional election, that's kind of a sidebar. It's a side issue. As long as you believe in justification by faith alone, you're good to go. And certainly I agree. People who are trusting in Christ alone, even if they don't understand why they're doing that, that they were sovereignly chosen and effectually called, they're believers, but they just don't know why. I was a believer before I understood this. And I got that it's Christ alone, but I was confused. I thought, well, but I'm the one that's believing in Jesus. It's not like Jesus is believing in himself, but you still need to present that God is the origin of all of it. He is the origin of everything in salvation, faith, repentance, our perseverance, our sanctification, all of it is produced by God. Okay. You haven't preached the gospel unless you truly represent the state of sinners' justification before God only through the imputed righteousness of Christ offered in the gospel and received by faith, uniting their persons to him as their surety and husband, who has completely paid their debt to the law as a broken covenant of works, and show that no works of theirs, no, not those which some call evangelical, have any influence as any part or ingredient of the condition and ground of it. That's really well stated. To all my Eastern Orthodox friends, that's exactly the case. You can't talk about Christ does these works of the Spirit in us, and then that is what saves us. No, it doesn't. Our good works can't play any role in our justification. Christ has assumed the legal responsibility for the salvation of his people. He undertook and went under the law. He was born of a woman made under the law to redeem those under the law. I love the way Brown says this. He says, uniting their persons to him as their surety, that means their legal representative. Their surety means legal representative. And husband, who has completely paid their debt to the law as a broken covenant of works. And the preacher must show that no works of theirs, no, not those which some call evangelical works, have any influence as any part or ingredient of the condition and ground of their justification. It is solely, completely, and only the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to our account. Romans 5:17-19, Romans 4:6, Genesis 15:6, which is quoted in Galatians 3, Romans 4, several times in Romans 4. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him, imputed to him for righteousness. You have not preached the gospel unless if you do not represent faith in its true nature as a persuasion of the infallible truth of God's record, that there is eternal life in his Son for us lost sinners, and as receiving and resting upon Christ alone for salvation, as he is freely offered to us in the gospel. You have to get faith right. Faith is not doing works. Faith is believing. It is a persuasion of the infallible truth of God's word, that there is no eternal life, that there is eternal life in his Son for us lost sinners, as receiving and resting upon Christ alone for salvation. You have not preached the gospel if you do not urge our receiving Christ as the means of renewing our heart and our living on him by the daily exercise of faith according to our new covenant state, as the means of producing good works and serving God in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. This is the part where the church today in America has really lost it. There's no call to repentance. There's no sense of the idea that Christ has redeemed us from the law to make a people who are zealous for good works. God does a radical change, a radical change. There is an entirely new principle of government in the heart of the regenerate person. I was just reading that last night. I've been reading the book God and Government to my children, and there's a great quotation from Archibald Alexander Hodge about regeneration. What is regeneration? A.A. Hodge defines it as a change in the fundamental principle of government in the heart of a person. You see, before a person's converted, before they're made alive in Christ, before they're born again by God's Spirit, they're slaves of sin. I mean, they'll believe in things like evolution. They'll believe that, you know, we just accidentally are here and there's no accountability because I love sin. I will believe things, no matter how hokey they are, to keep from having to bow my knee to God, to the God that made me. And God changes the heart of every person who is justified by his grace and by faith alone. He changes that heart. and puts a new principle of government, namely God's law, God's word. And now we love the law of God. We love the word of God. And we want to be holy. We want to be righteous in the Lord. Okay, the next point. You have not preached the gospel. If he states not union and communion with Christ and gracious communications from his fullness as the foundation of all of our holy obedience and inculcate holiness in heart and practice as a privilege as well as a duty, and as a duty only to be performed by our living on Christ as the Lord, our righteousness, our quickening head and vital principle dwelling in our heart by faith. And then that's the last thing he lists in terms of telling counsel to gospel ministers. You have not preached the gospel unless you get all those elements. And Brown is exactly correct. And what that means, there's not a whole lot of gospel preaching going on today. Not a whole lot of it going on today. And here's his last paragraph to his younger apprentice here. In short, the least neglect to hold forth Christ as God's free gift as Christ, it's hard to read people that wrote in 1750. In short, the least neglect to hold forth Christ as God's free gift and our all in all in any privilege or duty, or the least recommendation of sincerity, repentance, good purposes, or works as the ground of our warrant and welcome to receive Jesus Christ as a Savior, or as a cause or condition of our title to salvation, or a ground of our full possession of it, tends to pervert the glorious gospel. I am affectionately yours, John Brown. This guy is going to be my companion. I'm going to look for everything this guy wrote. I want to see if Banner of Truth has published more of his stuff. I want to see if Reformation Heritage has published more. I may look at Sola Dei Gloria. I'm going to look at all the great Reformed publishers and see if I can find more of this guy's stuff, because this is a jewel. In fact, I'm just having a memory. I think when I took Greek at Greenville Seminary, Dr. Sidney Dyer, who taught Greek there at the time, I don't know if he's still there or not, he wrote his own Greek grammar. And the opening introduction to the Greek grammar is a story. I think it's about this guy who, when he was very young, had already taught himself Greek and had actually written out a Greek dictionary and had written out his own Greek grammar based on comparing English translations with Greek and everything else. And he actually went into a bookstore, and was eyeing a really, really nice Greek New Testament. And the guy, there was an older man there who was wealthy, who said, "Can you read that, son?" And he said, "Yes, I can." And the guy said, "Oh, okay. If you can read and translate it out loud, I'll buy it for you." So Brown opened it, said, "You pick the page," and read it in Greek and then translated it. And the guy was very, very impressed and gave it, bought the Bible for him, the Greek New Testament for him. So this guy is really something special. This book, highly recommend it. Another one, Systematic Theology, A Compendious View of Natural and Revealed Religion, John Brown of Haddington. Everything I've read in this book has been just fantastic. Really impressed with this guy's mind. So thankful to God for the Reformed publishers that dig around and find these nuggets and bring them back to life. You guys, I love you. Dr. Beakey, you'll never see this video, but I love you, man. So thankful for you. So thankful for Banner of Truth and all the people that publish there. So thankful for all of you. The small mom-pop publishers that get this stuff out there, it's great. There's two young guys in my church. I'm going to get them each a copy of this because it's just outstanding. I went to a cemetery yesterday on my way to church and read the first letter, and it was just glorious. It was just on the importance of preaching Christ and making sure that you're constantly coming back to that in your preaching. Here's a paragraph from the first letter here. It says, "That preacher acts only the part of a heathen moralist who acquaints me with the multitude, the pollution, the absurdity of my vices and indwelling lusts, or with the charms, the profits, the pleasures, the honors, the duty of virtue, and my obligation to it, and who calls me off from the one to the other without setting before me Jesus Christ, as sent by God to save men from sin and to sanctify them with his own blood. Jesus Christ, as having finished transgression, made an end of sin, and brought in everlasting righteousness, through which, imputed to us, we become dead to and delivered from the broken covenant of works, which is the strength of sin, and have our inward enmity against God slain by his bleeding love and almighty spirit. That being married to Christ and created anew in him, and having him dwelling in our hearts by faith, we in his strength may bring forth fruit unto God and walk in newness of life, and that having the promises, securing our everlasting relation to and enjoyment of God, we may cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." This is a book you want to read. Question. Why in the world would anyone spend time reading N.T. Wright when you could read the works of the venerable dead who actually believed something, who were actually Christians, who actually knew what it was to have a few sleepless nights worried about sin and about the condemnation for sin and about judgment, hellfire, and damnation, and how Christ came and in the Garden of Gethsemane sweat drops of blood as he prayed for a way out. But the answer was clear. There was no other way. And Jesus took the full force of the wrath of God. And if we're really ministers of Christ, ministers of the gospel, how dare we preach anything other than the fullness of that great work? I'm not saying you don't preach on other topics, but I'm saying when you preach the gospel, you preach Christ as a perfect Savior, as one who in himself has done everything necessary to save lost sinners. And our faith in him is not a virtue. It is simply the beggar's empty hand. What do I bring to Christ? My sin, period. And I rest upon him alone. I receive him alone. And I trust and rely on him alone. His righteousness, his shed blood. It is enough not only to save the unconverted, it's enough to forgive Christian failure too. Aren't you thankful that Jesus died for the sins of Christians too? I tell you, I am. I'm very thankful that Christ took even my failure after conversion upon that cross, and that his righteousness covers even my best works, which are still soiled with enough sin to leave me in hell. Christ alone is our Savior. Thank God for men like John Brown who understood it. And I pray that God would raise up thousands and thousands more whose hearts burn with love for that truth. We are justified by faith alone, apart from works, through the imputed righteousness and satisfaction of Jesus Christ alone. Thanks for watching.